The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
My name is Elbert Lewis Jr.
And I'm Alan McIntyre. And together we welcome you back to our show, Black on Black Commentary. And the intended audience for our show is the black community. Yet others are encouraged and welcome to tune in. Each and every one of us has a unique bias when it comes to change or certain subjects. And I should warn you that the content of our program episodes is probably unlike anything you've heard coming out of the black community.
Again, I'd like to welcome you back and encourage you to keep an open mind and think for yourself. If you're not African American, we hope you'll listen in to our show as well. Our program is intended to educate our listeners and provoke serious thought. Each of our episodes will deal with a different topic of importance. Are you ready for some open and honest black-on-black commentary? Great, because it's time we talked. Well, Alan, at the end of our last show, we struck up a conversation, and you introduced the Frederick Douglass Republican movement. We didn't have a chance to talk a lot about it, but I'm really interested. Can you fill me in and educate me on just exactly what this movement is all about?
Well, first of all, the movement was created by K. Carl Smith, also known as the Liberty Messenger. He's out of Birmingham, Alabama. And as far as the movement, us involved in the movement, we like to talk about Douglass's four life empowering values, which are respect for the U.S. Constitution, respect for life, belief in limited government, and belief in personal responsibility. We understand here in the Frederick Douglass movement that Frederick Douglass was a great influence on the creation of the Republican Party.
That's pretty interesting. On my way home last week, I was really thinking about what you said, and I did a little research on Frederick Douglass. Like most black people have done a little reading, I knew who he was. I didn't really understand his philosophy. But after doing a little research and after listening to you now, I'm just wondering, why do you think his philosophy and his ideas are relevant for black people today?
First, let me answer that from a spiritual perspective. I think his philosophy and his ideas are relevant because he was a born-again believer. And I think because he was a born-again believer, Christ was able to use him and work through him to where his life experiences and his ideology is relevant from then on forward, from his time and even into present-day society.
Okay, that's great, but I've kind of developed some questions in my mind. For instance, don't you think the Frederick Douglass movement, a Republican movement, is targeted towards what I would call the educated black man? Because it seems to me that if you are dependent on the social services programs and you approach someone who's in that condition, and you're asking them to pay attention to the Frederick Douglass Republicanism, aren't you asking them to not only change their philosophy, but change their whole lifestyle?
Absolutely. And because of that, we are not targeted towards the so-called more educated black man. As a matter of fact, I'm holding a Frederick Douglass pamphlet here entitled, "It's Not About Color, It's About Values," and it says, "Making the Poor a Priority." And oftentimes the poor are poor because they're less educated. That absolutely says that we are not targeting the more fortunate within our community. We're targeting everybody, but in particular we are targeting the less fortunate because we know that they are less fortunate. Let me say that they are less fortunate to a large degree because of their political association. That's a very bold statement. That statement would make a lot of people angry.
And I can see why, because
oh, yeah.
You're making a broad statement. Are you saying that every Democrat is somehow deficient? Because you can have
I'm not saying
you can have a very educated Democrat, dyed in the wool Democrat, very educated, very successful, very productive,
and be pro-black.
Of course.
So don't get me wrong. There are Democrats that are very good people. There are Democrats that truly are interested in the plight of the poor. There are Democrats that are very charitable.
And conservative.
And conservative. That was going to be my last point. Now, is that your average Democrat today in 2013? Absolutely not. Because in 2013, what we have is liberal progressive Democrats who are ruling and reigning in the party. Mm-hmm. And it is because of these liberal progressive mandates. But the liberal progressives, when you look at them, I would tell you that everything that they do is counterproductive to blacks. That is what I would tell you. Because the liberal progressives are teaching us to be dependent as opposed to being independent and self-sufficient,
correct.
Which is what Frederick Douglass was an advocate of. He wanted black people to be independent and self-sufficient. Now, not separatists. He wasn't a separatist. He thought that we should assimilate. But he also thought that we should assimilate, and yet at the same time, we should be able to be self-sufficient and not have to look to the government, even though we were coming out of slavery. Because they asked Douglass, what should we do with the Negro? And he said he warned against entitlements and welfare and things like that because he knew that it would ruin our work ethic. And he thought that we were perfectly capable to make that transition from slavery into mainstream American society without entitlements and welfare and things from the government, because he knew what that ultimately would do to our work ethic, and not just our work ethic, but our ability to lean on one another and be independent and overcome circumstances. We've always overcome circumstances. We don't need the government now.
That was one of the big questions. Now that you have said that, one of the biggest questions I had is, why Frederick Douglass Republicans? Why not Frederick Douglass conservatives? Because it seems to me the Republican Party of Frederick Douglass's era is not the same Republican Party we have today.
You're exactly
right. Not only that, it has, how do I put this, a very serious negative connotation in the black community. And nationally, I think the Republican brand is on the decline. I think that was one of the most serious mistakes that the Tea Party made when they formed their organizations. They align themselves with the Republicans. And the Republicans now have an image of being only concerned with the 1 or 2 percenters or the people in business and not necessarily concerned about the common folk.
Let me jump in there. Let me jump in. You said the image, and that's what it is. It's an image, a false image. It's something that was created by the enemies of the Republican brand.
Not entirely, but I'm gonna
break this down for you. Now let me explain something to you. The liberal progressives, they figured out that if they continued to repeat that Republicans were racist and only for the wealthy, eventually people would listen and buy into it. That is what has happened. Now, when you say the Republican brand, first of all, I'm not willing to allow someone else's narrative to define my party. I am a proud Republican. Now, I'm not a country club Republican. You understand what I'm saying? I'm more of a Frederick Douglass Republican. Now, what we're attempting to do and what we're going to do is we're going to reclaim the party. Let me explain something to you. If you look at the numbers, if you look at the breakdown of Republicans, most Republicans aren't country club Republicans. They're hardworking, everyday people like everybody else. They're not privileged people. Now, let me explain something to you.
But
unfortunately, hold on. I can't miss this. Okay. Unfortunately, it's the country club Republicans that are running the party right now.
Absolutely.
Therefore, they're creating a bad image of the rest of us for the rest of us. We have to do something about that. I don't think you abandon the party because all of a sudden there's a negative image of the party. I think you man up and say, you know what, we're going to reclaim the party from these country club Republicans, and we're going to take our image, our brand back to where it should be, and that is where it was in the days of Douglass. It's just like I use this analogy all the time. If a squatter comes and sits down in your garage and says, you know what, I'm claiming your house and you can't move me out or whatever, what are you going to do?
Call the police.
Okay. Now, but you're going to do something about it. You're going to protect your house.
Absolutely.
Well, here's what we're doing. We're protecting our house because the Republican Party, that's our home. I feel like black people have been kicked out of their political home. I'm sorry. They've been tricked out of their political homes.
I agree with that.
Let me say that. Yeah. Because, you know, this is really and truly the party of Douglas. So as opposed to running away from the party because people have said it's something that is not, let's go back in and reclaim it.
But okay, that's fine. But we both know that within the Republican Party, it's made up of basically the grassroots Republican voter. But the people who pay for the elections, establish the candidates that run as Republicans, are pretty much rich people, the two percenters. And so they are controlling the Republican brand right now.
For the most part, they are.
Right.
Wouldn't you like to do something about that?
Well, let me state the problem first as I see it, because it may not be a problem. This is just my perception.
Okay.
Now, when you, as a Frederick Douglass Republican, goes on a recruiting drive or whatever, or event, and you approach the typical black person and you label yourself as a Republican, you automatically, with a large percentage of the black population,
turn them off.
Exactly.
And I'm fine with that.
And they might still be polite to you, but your message has hit a brick wall because of that name. And like I said before,
the message hasn't hit a brick wall. It's hit a roadblock.
Okay.
Now it's up to me.
Whatever you
want
to call it.
It's up to me. But we got to really make sure that's out there. But it's up to me. Once I educate them, then all of a sudden they understand. And let me tell you what happens. Then all of a sudden they feel like I feel. They want to reclaim this party and take it back to the days of Douglas. Because I show them how they've been lied to and manipulated by the liberal progressives and actually turned away from that which is actually their beginning.
And that's sinister within itself. That's a whole nother podcast within itself, how black people went from Republican to Socialist Democrat. And we'll definitely have to talk about that in the future. But getting back to the image of being a Republican, I just feel like if you're going to extend your reach into the black community to its greatest extent, the Republican brand is a disadvantage. And I'm not saying you change the name of your organization. I'm not saying that. I'm just pointing out to my view or my estimation of what the problems might be, because even among my own family members, because I'm conservative, a lot of times they call me a Republican. It is not to be, it's not meant to be funny or camaraderie. They think because I'm a conservative.
They're attacking you.
Exactly. And this is from my own family members.
Now we're chuckling. We're chuckling in here inside the studio because while you're talking and you said the word image, and as soon as you said image, I held up this image.
Mm-hmm.
And right here, what do you see? You see an image of Frederick Douglass. And above there, you see Frederick Douglass Republican.
Right.
Remember, you said image. So images can be changed. Perceptions can be changed.
Absolutely.
I'm willing to fight that fight.
You have to get your foot in the door.
And that's what I do. That's why I travel the country. That's why we go door to door. Getting our foot in the door.
If your label is going to incite resistance from the very outset, then your reach is going to be limited because you've automatically.
That's why we're taught to be non-condescending when we go out here and talk to people. You see what I'm saying? We are well aware of all the resistance that we're going to get, believe me. We're well aware of it. That's the reason why we do things. That's the reason why we have a method to how we approach things, because we understand that we have to undo something. And it's very difficult to undo something that's been done over a course of years. And that's what we're doing. So there's definitely a method to how we do what we do. I mean, this pamphlet, for example, I mean, this would take any black person and just kind of relax them. It says, Frederick Douglass Republicans, it's not about color, it's about values. You instantly associate a black name with that. Then you see his face here. Then you see a black man on the front of this pamphlet. And then it says, it's not about color. We don't want to be judged based on our color, you know. And we say it's about values, basically saying it's about the content of your character. You know, so we're really taking this thing back to where Martin Luther King said it should be. But prior to that, Douglas said it. See, Douglas is the true father of the civil rights movement, not Martin Luther King. It's just that, unfortunately, these liberal progressives have kind of swept Douglas underneath the rug and out the door and down the street to the landfill.
Well, the country wasn't ready for it in his time. He could have been a Martin Luther King times 10, and during his era, the country just wasn't ready.
I really respect Martin Luther King. But once you become intimately acquainted with who Douglas was, it's not even close. It's not even close. What this man went through, and he was able to come out of what he went through not hating people. As a matter of fact, even embracing and expressing love and forgiveness for his former masters, you know, that's a very difficult thing to do.
And a lot of people can't make that. That's an intellectual thing, mm-hmm. because emotions will automatically engender resentment and hatred for what was done to you.
Mm-hmm.
But that was an intellectual exercise that he went through to forgive his former masters and then move on from there. But I don't think most black people can achieve that, or at least to the degree that he did.
I think they can.
A lot of us do, to the point where we function in this society, we become successful, some of us wildly successful. But I think to make that absolute forgiveness and to move on is very difficult.
I'll give you an example of what you're talking about. I golf with one of the guys I golf with is a doctor, okay? And there's some other successful black gentlemen that I golf with, and they're successful. You know, financially, they're successful. But yet and still, they still hold on to this thing about the man holding us down. Now, I'm looking at them as if they're 10-karat cold crazy. You know, I'm like, what do you mean the man holding you down? You make $400,000, $500,000, $700,000 a year. You got Benzes and Cadillacs and whatever, and you take vacations 6, 7, 8 times a year. You're living a great lifestyle, and you're talking about the man holding you down. You're talking about racism. You don't experience racism. As a matter of fact, everywhere they go is, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, how can I help you? People waiting on you hand and foot.
Yeah, you got that doctor.
And you're acting labor, like you're somebody that just came through Jim Crow.
Now, you remember last week we were talking about, related to you, a conversation I had with my mother? And so during a part of the conversation, I asked her, Mama, we have the greatest freedoms of any people, black or otherwise, on the face of the planet. And she said, well, we're not totally free. I said, well, how could you be any freer? And so she thought for a minute. The only thing she could come up with, well, we have to wear seatbelts. And we need a license to do all these things. I said, wait a minute.
She answered your question when the only thing that she could come up with was that we had to wear seatbelts. She told you that we couldn't be any freer. That's basically what she said.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what I said. At that point, she got real quiet. So I thought, that's why I better shut up and drive. So, but it's true. And a lot of black people don't understand just how free we are.
Very free.
But
in many cases, we're reluctant to accept that freedom.
You know why? Because it comes with responsibility.
Responsibility and accountability. That's right. You can no longer blame anybody else.
That's right.
If all of a sudden you acknowledge that, hey, I'm totally free, who can you blame when you fail to succeed?
That's right.
You can't blame anybody. So, you know, we're often very reluctant to accept that. Let me tell you something. I tell people all the time, every mistake that I've ever made, everything bad, anything that I've gone through, I created that problem. Right. If somebody has taken advantage of me, I put myself in a situation to allow them to take advantage of me.
That's true.
I am responsible for every freaking thing. Now, I got some friends that get so upset when I say that because what am I doing? I'm taking their crutch away. Mm-hmm. So they're like, well, you can say that for yourself, but we're not going to say that.
The Frederick Douglass Republican Movement, it sounds great. And I have to agree with you that it's much needed among, you know, probably large swaths of the black community. But I'm not convinced it's the answer to all the problems in the black community. For instance,
nothing is the answer to all the problems. Well,
that's
Jesus
true.
Christ.
Well, let me rephrase that.
It's the best thing going. Let me say that.
I see you're very convinced and very very adamant about
that
about
and the Low Information Voter Project, because right. I think through education and through truth, you free people from whatever it is that's holding them back. Mm-hmm. And I'm very convinced that the truth will set us all free. And even in the Frederick Douglass movement, we just really try to bring truth to the table, you know. And one thing that this pamphlet itself does, it clarifies a lot of things, a lot of misperceptions that exist in the black community. For example, in the black community, they think that Republicans were responsible for slavery. Not true. It was Democrats. They think that Republicans started KKK. Not true. It was Democrats. Correct. They think Republicans were responsible for Jim Crow. Not true. It was Democrats. They think that Bull Connor and those clowns down south were Republicans. No, they were Democrats. And so we like to clear a lot of that up. So we do go into some historical things, even in this little small pamphlet, you know. So, and that's truth. And the truth gives you a new perspective. And the black community needs a new perspective on race and race relations in this country.
Right. And that's where I think the main strength of what you're doing, you offer the truth which contradicts the narrative of the so-called black leaders, because they would have us believe everything you just said about Republicans being responsible, you know, for the racist type movements in this country when it was basically Democrats. So I see it as an information tool, as a vehicle to educate black people what their history really is. I'm just not totally convinced that it's going to reach enough people and really change the generational rut that a lot of black people are in.
Well, let me ask you a question. Will you agree that what we're doing is good?
Oh, without a doubt.
Okay.
Because any information is good.
Now,
when you educate somebody, you give them power. Knowledge is power.
Now, and that's all I need for you or anybody that believes in what we're doing. Let me say that like this. I just need people that see what, if you see us doing this and you believe in this and you think that it can do some good, then I would suggest to anybody, if that's what you believe, get involved with the movement. Mm-hmm. Because we've got to do something. For too long, nobody hasn't been doing anything. And never before have you had people within the black community, other blacks, coming out saying, okay, enough is enough. And to take the stand, in spite of the fact that they're going to be targeted, take the stand and say, you know what, I'm going to do something about this. And when K. Carl Smith started this Frederick Douglass movement, Republican movement, he was taking a stand. He saw that there was something going on in this country, and he knew he needed to do something about it. So what did he do? He stepped up to the plate. I'm just asking other black people, whether you're a Republican, Democrat, conservative, whatever, we're asking you to step up and do something about it. And you can't blame anybody. Blame isn't even on the table. You know, blame is off in the distant past. What we're saying is step up and address your community. You see something's wrong in your community, step up, do something about it. Don't blame white people or whatever. Just acknowledge that there's a problem and do something about it. For example, we can go real basic. You see that there's crime in your community, pick up the phone and call the cops. You see the kids are hanging out, it's late, it's dark, it's a school night, go out there and say, hey, you guys need to be going home. It's late, it's a school night. Do your parents know where you are? It's just about taking simple responsibility and accountability for your community. And that's how things begin to get better. You know, we're not trying to come up with some one solution that's going to, you know, solve all problems. Nobody can do that. But we're certainly going to do something about the problem.
That brings us almost full circle to the political implications of the Frederick Douglass Republican movement, because the power to affect change, there has to be a political component.
Mm-hmm.
And what is there in the movement that's designed to directly affect elections and how black people vote, which translates into how we're treated politically and economically and the whole gamut.
Well, I think as we give the truth about the history of the Republican Party, people can begin to see it in a different light, especially black people.
And Is that your main goal, change the voting pattern?
Yes, I would say so. And if I'm wrong, K. Carl, he could correct me, but I would say so, because I think it's dangerous when 93% of any group of people vote one way. You know, I think that's dangerous.
Well, obviously you're taking for granted.
And let me say this. I like to say this personally, me speaking personally. I'm not out to destroy the Democrat Party. Now, Barack Obama, he's out to destroy the Republican Party. I'm not out to destroy the Democrat Party. As a matter of fact, I'm out to save the Democrat Party. I want to save them from the liberal progressives that have infiltrated and taken over and perverted that party. There are something that I call real Democrats out there. They believe in our four life-empowering values: respect for the Constitution, respect for life, belief in limited government, belief in personal responsibility. Am I sitting here saying that all Democrats are bad? No. What I'm primarily saying is that they have a very serious problem with the leadership. Unfortunately, they've been able to convince and manipulate a lot of the rank-and-file Democrats. In spite of that, there's many Democrats that are what I would call traditional Democrats. Mm-hmm. You know, they're Judeo-Christians, you know, and they believe in American exceptionalism and all these wonderful things that us conservatives believe in. I've spoken with many of these Democrats, and they want the help to reclaim their party. And I tell people all the time, I don't mind losing an election to a real losing an occasional election to a real Democrat as opposed to a liberal progressive Democrat, because that liberal progressive Democrat ultimately wants to undermine my country, and not only undermine my country, they also are currently and they want to continue to undermine and exploit the black community. When the black community figures out that the liberal progressive Democrat Party is exploiting them and using them as their personal attack dog, all hell is going to break loose. I give you an example of how they do that. Conservatism is the natural enemy of liberal progressivism. So anytime you see conservatives begin to rise up, these liberal progressives say, oh, they're racist, in order to illegitimize that conservative movement. And what happens?
And
the black community runs out there and attacks them, all the race, and they use them as their attack dog.
Sometimes they give them ammunition.
Well, let me tell you the ammunition that I see conservatives giving the liberal progressives. The problem is, too often they're called racist, and they don't know how to respond to it, so they say nothing. That's the ammunition that they give them, because you should defend yourself when you're called a racist. You know you're not a racist, but you're afraid to continue on defending yourself. You're afraid to defend yourself from that comment, because what is it going to lead to? More accusations of racism.
It's been interesting. I don't know if I'm thoroughly convinced, but I am convinced that you definitely have something that is of value to the black community, because there has to be a counterpoint to the established narrative that's coming out of liberal politics, out of so-called black leadership, because it is definitely leading black people down a garden path that is not going to be good.
Well, again, listeners, we appreciate you listening in and hope that you'll tell your family and friends about our show. You may not agree with any or all of the points we've made during this episode of Black on Black Commentary. In fact, you may be thinking that each of us is an Uncle Tom, a sellout, or an Oreo. But that's why we offer you a listener comment section. If you have something to say in response to this episode, anything at all, get it off your chest. Simply enter in your comments on the player page displayed in front of you at this very moment.
You know, we talked about history, how it's proven that socialism and communism are systems that are not very kind or advantageous to the individual person and the common man. But it seems like in this Frederick Douglass movement, we're reaching back through history to a man whose ideas are kind of relevant to what's happening today and just might be the answer to some of the things that are happening in the black community. I want to thank everybody for listening. If you're like me, you've learned something about Frederick Douglass, his beliefs, his ideas, and how they are relevant to the black community and America as a whole today. Give us some thought, and together, perhaps we can all ensure our country's future history and have it be something we can be proud of.